quite good to actually see what the wilderness looks like, isn't it? So just before the passage that we read today, Jesus was baptized by John in the Jordan. And as soon as Jesus was baptized, he came up out of the water. And at that moment, heaven opened and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased." This is it. Finally, at the age of 30, Jesus' ministry is about to begin. He's anointed with the Holy Spirit in a new way as the Spirit comes to rest on him like a dove, so that he can fulfill the purpose for which he came to earth. But instead of going out straight away and preaching the good news and healing people, the Spirit leads him into the wilderness. What's going on here? Jesus left the crowds of the city, seeking separation from the world to fast and pray and spend time with his Father. Jesus also has to face the whispering voices that try and persuade him into ways that will distort his true vocation. The vocation to be a truly human being, to be God's person, to be a servant to the world and to other people. This is a time of preparation for his 3 years of ministry. Jesus must face these temptations now and win at least an initial victory over them. If he doesn't, they will meet him suddenly in the middle of his work and they may overwhelm him. The first two temptations play on the very strength he's just received. "You are my Son, my beloved one," God had said to him. "Very well," whispers the demonic voice, "if you really are God's Son, surely he can't want you to go hungry when you have the power to get food for yourself. Surely you want people to see who you are. Why not do something really spectacular and get people's attention?" And then the enemy comes out boldly, "Forget your heavenly Father. Just worship me and I'll give you power like no one else has ever had." But Jesus sees through the traps. He answers each time with the Bible and with God. He's committed to living from God's word, to trusting God completely. He's committed to serving and loving God alone. And we see this throughout his ministry. Jesus regularly took times to separate himself and to seek God on his own. This is Luke 5, verse 16. "But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed." These were times when he could set aside the distractions and the crowds of people that were coming and thronging around him. And he could get away for a while and listen carefully to what Father God wanted to say to him and hear God's direction for his next steps. This Lent, we're invited to journey into the wilderness with Jesus and with the desert fathers and mothers as our companions. We're invited to commit ourselves to seeking God and to growing in our spiritual maturity. Today we reflect on things to step away from, things to move towards, assessing our daily habits and rhythms so we can intentionally journey into Lent with one clear goal in view: to grow closer to God. And I think that's what we all want, isn't it? This series will challenge us. The wilderness is not an easy place to be. However, we enter this journey assured that God is with us, leading us every step of the way, empowering us with everything we need. This is Philippians 2:13. "For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him." Over the next 7 weeks, we're going to be looking at a whole range of topics. Some may be familiar and others more unfamiliar. We're going to be looking at the desert as a place of prayer, a place of testing, a place of silence and solitude, a place of self-denial, a place to find wisdom, a place to grow in humility. And finally, on Palm Sunday, the desert as a place to carry with us. So what might it look like over the next few weeks to be people who seek separation with God in order to pursue spiritual growth? In Matthew 6, verse 6, Jesus encourages us as his disciples, "When you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." Jesus is encouraging us to set aside times when we're away from the distractions and the disruptions, to be in God's presence and to hear from him. I wonder how we could use this season of Lent to shut the door on distractions and to seek time alone with God. We recognise this is a huge challenge for us. We live in a world that is incredibly fast-paced, noisy, and full of distractions. And our society has seen an enormous increase in technology, but a huge decrease in attention spans as well, making it harder than ever to be still and know that I am God. Professor Gloria Mark, a psychologist at the University of California, has been researching human attention span for a number of decades. In 2004, she found that the average attention span of her participants was about 2.5 minutes. By 2012, this had dropped to just 75 seconds. More recent results indicate it's gone down even further. As our brain chemistry alters with the fast-paced world around us, what impact does this have on our capacity to be still and to be alone with God? How challenging do we find it to remove the distractions and all the noise and all that's going on around us, and simply to be alone with our Father in heaven? Author Richard Foster argues that in contemporary society, our adversary majors in three things: noise, hurry, and crowds. If he can keep us engaged in muchness and manyness, he will rest satisfied. That's why seeking out solitude, prioritising a daily time in prayer, Bible reading, worship, is so important. As we saw on the video, the desert mother Synecdoche of Alexandria noted, "There are many who live in the mountains and behave as if they were in the town. But it is possible to be a solitary in one's mind while living in a crowd." How can we take up this challenge? How could you be solitary this week while going about your normal life, work, home life, etc.? How can we practice the presence of God and be aware of him as we go about our normal lives, so that we have a greater awareness of what God is doing and what God is saying to us? I wonder, are there times when you're waiting for something that instead of going straight to your phone and playing a game or doing something on your phone, you could take a few moments to connect with God? Are there times you could set aside to be with God, even short periods of time, when you could switch off your phone so it doesn't distract you? In Colossians 4, verse 2, we read this line: "Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful." The Greek word that Paul uses for devote is the word proskuneo, and it means to be earnest towards, to persevere, to be constantly diligent, to attend continually, continue, and to wait on. This word is used 10 times in Greek in the New Testament, and of those 10, 8 of them are referring to prayer. As we begin our Lenten journey, let's sit with that word devotion a little bit longer. The word proskuneo conveys a single-minded, diligent, careful perseverance, a steely determination. And this is the word that the early Christian writers chose time and again to describe their approach to prayer, something that you persevere and determined to do. It's not a trivial word when Paul says, devote yourselves to prayer. It's a big challenge, and I find this as hard as everybody else does. I wonder if someone observed your week, the things that you do, the things that you say, who or what would they say you are devoted to? What do you always manage to fit in, regardless of what else is going on? What gets squeezed out when you feel pressured? Instead of this becoming one more thing for us to feel guilty about, what small change could we make that would enable us to prioritise time with God over the next few weeks? Maybe committing to prayer using the Lectio 365 app each morning. Maybe going for a walk and talking to God. Maybe using those times when we're doing something mundane like washing up or ironing or driving to connect with God. I'm going to give you a few moments silence now to ask God what small change you could make to seek Him in this season of Lent. So I'll just give you some time to think about that and to talk to God about it. It's important at the beginning of a series featuring the desert fathers and mothers to note that some of their examples and practices were extreme and not helpful and not things we want to copy. Excess is dangerous, both when we allow the world to shape all of our attitudes and actions, or when we fall into the trap of being overly religious and following strict rules. God is inviting us to lean into our relationship with Him, allowing Him to show us His love and inviting us to love Him back. This is a story for today from the Desert Fathers and Mothers. Some brothers came to Anthony to tell him their dreams. A hunter happens to come by and saw Anthony talking in a relaxed way with the brothers, and he was shocked. The hermit wanted to show him how we should sometimes be less austere for the sake of the brothers, and he said to him, "Put an arrow in your bow and draw it." He did so, and Anthony said, "Draw it further," and he drew it further. He then said, "Draw it again further," and he drew it some more. Then the hunter said to him, "If I draw it too far, the bow will snap." Anthony answered, "So it is with God's work. If we always go to excess, the brothers will quickly become exhausted. Sometimes it's best not to be too rigid." The hunter was ashamed when he heard this and profited much from it. The brothers were encouraged and went home. This story invites us to do a check. Are we in danger of overstretching our bow, of getting too involved and too busy and too active? This is Jesus' invitation to us in Matthew 11, 28 and 30. And this is from the Message version. "Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly." When Jesus walked into the wilderness, He had the name Beloved spoken over him at his baptism, still ringing in his ears. In this first week of Lent, as we step into whatever this 40-day desert place holds for us, let's take time to listen and to hear that word spoken over us now, that we might enter the wilderness in the full knowledge of our own belovedness. Like Jesus, we go into the wilderness because we are beloved, not to become beloved. You are deeply loved by God, and he's inviting you to spend time in his loving presence to receive peace, hope, and strength from him. I'm going to read a prayer that's written by Jan Richardson, and I'm going to read it slowly so we can reflect on the words. If you would enter into the wilderness, do not begin without a blessing. Do not leave without hearing who you are, beloved, named by the one who has travelled this path before you. Do not go without letting it echo in your ears. And if you find it's hard to let it into your heart, do not despair. That is what this journey is for. I cannot promise this blessing will free you from danger, from fear, from hunger or thirst, from the scorching of sun or the fall of the night. But I can tell you that on this path there will be help. I can tell you that on this way there will be rest. I can tell you that you will know the strange graces that come to our aid only on a road such as this, that fly to meet us bearing comfort and strength, that come alongside us for no other cause than to lean themselves toward our ear and with their curious insistence whisper our name. Beloved. Beloved. Beloved.